Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Time once again for the Bama Online Podcast. Travis Ryer, senior analyst for BOL, alongside senior team reporter Charlie Potter. It is midday on a Tuesday, January the 24th, 2023. And what do we have, Charlie Potter? We've got dueling coordinator hot boards up right now at BamaOnline.com. As we learned, to the surprise of no one, earlier on Tuesday, as reported first by ESPN, Bill O'Brien moving on from the University of Alabama to become the new offensive coordinator, returning to New England, where he has worked previously for Bill Belichick. And this time, he'll serve as the coach and coordinator for an offense that we expect to still be quarterbacked by Mac Jones in 2023. So it's sort of that Belichick-Saban dynamic, I guess, Charlie, that we can't hardly get away from.
Yeah, well, first things first, shout out to Hank South. I think he posted that story in the car line at school this morning. I was up late working on a story I was excited to post, and we'll have that another day later this week with, you know, the attention obviously turning to offensive coordinator. But you're right. I mean, this is something that we expected, not only just for Bill O'Brien to move on with his contract set to expire at the end of next month, but, you know, his connections to the New England Patriots. You know, he's a guy that I think had been mentioned for a lot of these openings in the NFL. And I think there, at last check, were 10 offensive coordinator vacancies at the next level. But, you know, New England always kind of made sense with his ties to Bill Belichick and, you know, his history there. You know, they're looking to revamp that offense. I think they probably need to make some free agent or, you know, some trades or some kind of acquisition in the draft for weapons around Mac Jones. But, you know, initial reports are he's excited to have Bill O'Brien in New England. So, you know, hope for the best for Mac. But yeah, I mean, I think this was one of those things where Alabama fans woke up. I don't know if it was necessarily like Christmas morning, but now that to have both coordinators moving on, you know, that's something that just from a fan perspective, you know, those that root for Alabama have been hoping for all offseason.
Yeah, it's kind of a situation like it was with Pete Golding. I think a couple of fan bases were excited by the news that an Alabama coordinator was moving on. I think Ole Miss people were excited to have Pete Golding make the trip, make the move over to Oxford. And similarly, I think that's going to be the reaction up in the Northeast with Bill O'Brien traveling up to Foxborough to take over that offense. And you said it, boy, they need some help from a coordinator perspective and even from a mentor for Mac. I mean, I think some people forget he's just a guy going into his third year in the league and still very much in the developmental process as an NFL quarterback. But when we look at O'Brien in the two seasons in Tuscaloosa, I want to say this first and get your thoughts. When you look at college football coaching jobs right now, if you get beyond the obvious head coaching positions at Alabama, at Georgia, at Ohio State, let's say Michigan, Clemson, you know, those five or six jobs, does the offensive coordinator position at Alabama check in maybe at least top 10 as far as scrutiny and how much that individual has on them from the public perception of expectations and what needs to get done and what should get done? I think he does. I think the offensive coordinator position at Alabama, because Nick Saban is first and foremost a defensive guy, it's white hot when it comes to scrutiny.
Yeah, I agree. I actually thought you were going to say something else, just that it's one of the top 10, 15 jobs in the country, just because of that, the athletes you get to work with, the way that Nick Saban has really changed his philosophy on the offensive side of the ball to kind of adapt to today's game. But I also agree that it is one of those that, you know, you're going to have to put on your blinders and really
asbestos
just dig in.
Underwear.
Yeah. You know, there's going to be a lot of backlash for some of the decisions, and, you know, people want to see the running game flourish. And, you know, that was something I think this season that maybe Bill O'Brien didn't do on a consistent enough basis. And, you know, Alabama's going to have athletes all over the field, and you can't get everybody the ball. But, you know, he's a guy that I think it was funny hearing from him in New Orleans talking about just kind of the backlash and what he's heard from fans. And he said he hasn't really heard any of it. He didn't know what we were talking about. But, you know, I think the same vein, I think especially late last year and this season, Bill O'Brien was dealt a kind of bad hand in terms of the wide receiver positions, the skill players. You had the injuries late last season to John Metchie and Jameson Williams. And then this year, I think the position was inconsistent, and that puts a lot of pressure on him. It puts a lot of pressure on Bryce Young. So I think that, yeah, it is one of those positions. I think defensive coordinator at Alabama is probably up there too, but just with all the attention on Alabama and the way the offenses have just been rolling the last several years, when things aren't going well or there are inconsistencies, whether it's at wide receiver, on the offensive line, the ball hasn't been run enough, you know, the quarterback play, whatever. Yeah, I think there's definitely some scrutiny involved in this position, and one that comes with a lot of pressure.
Yeah, there was a semi thank you appreciation thread for Bill O'Brien on the roundtable earlier on this Tuesday. And, you know, it was essentially appreciate the effort, but probably a good point for both parties to move along. And, you know, my response to all that was, yeah, you know, Bill could have done a better job of keeping John Metchie and Jameson Williams and Bryce Young, even the running back position late in 2021. We all recall that. You were essentially down to like 1.5 running backs. You were playing guys like DeMoy Kennedy at running back. So it wasn't an ideal situation really in either of his 2 years, because you had Bryce with the injury against Arkansas that sort of curtailed his performance there for a stretch during the 2022 season. And that's not to say that I feel like Bill O'Brien was above reproach in some aspects of the offense. I thought in 2022, especially, just not enough diversity, and where call sequencing was concerned, there didn't seem to be a lot of instances where you watched Alabama on offense and thought, okay, they ran this play because they're going to set this up. You know, it was pretty basic and pretty vanilla. And I think too much was probably put on Bryce. But you know, when you look at Bill O'Brien's 2 years in Tuscaloosa, I think the biggest problem he's going to have is that he wasn't one of these guys that won a national championship in his 2 seasons. And again, though, you can go back to the injuries from 2021 and how that may just change the way he would have been perceived after his stint.
No, yeah. I mean, that's where things are measured in Tuscaloosa, no doubt. But, you know, I think there's some high moments. I know people don't necessarily want to hear about that, but you have a season where Bryce Young just rewrites the record books from a single season perspective. He wins Alabama's fourth Heisman Trophy, the first for a quarterback. And you look at the numbers in 2021, you know, Alabama was among the top 10 nationally in scoring offense, total offense, and passing offense. Now, the run game wasn't there, but you made a good point with you're basically just have Brian Robinson at the end of last season after injuries to Jace McClellan and Roydell Williams. And then, you know, Trey Sanders still trying to get back to his old self. And then this year, you know, the running numbers picked up a good bit, almost 50 yards per game more. But again, it was just kind of inconsistent. So I think there was some good, but it didn't really ever seem very creative, I think. And you made the point of that with there wasn't a lot of diversity. And I think that, again, with some of the guys they had in the backfield, with the offensive line being better than it was a year ago, you could have maybe leaned on the run game a little bit and taken some pressure off Bryce. But, you know, going back to the injuries, I mean, the Tennessee game might have been a little different if Bryce Young is 100% healthy. Who knows? I mean, you know, there's a lot that went wrong in that game. But the offense was doing quite a bit, too. So I think with Bill O'Brien, it is a day where Alabama fans are celebrating on message boards, on social media. I know they've been waiting for this to be official, you know, for a while. It's not necessarily official, but I think the Patriots are probably going to announce it later today or, you know, in the coming days. But
I think Belichick's like Saban. You know,
that's true.
It happens, and then like 6 days later, you get a release from Belichick. Maybe that'll be interesting to watch play out. But I think your points are valid in that. In 2021, when you had Jamison Williams and you had John Metchie and you had Brian Robinson, Cameron Latou doing some good things that season, Jahlil Billingsley was starting to trend downward, as we know, at that point. But you were able to cover for a lot of things, and you didn't have to become semi-exotic as far as play calls or play design or creativity. But I do think that's where O'Brien did come up short in 2022. You didn't have those kind of guys on the outside. That became clear very early on in the season, especially the game at Texas. I think that's the one that sticks in the craw of a lot of Alabama fans. And you got to credit Texas for how they played in a home game early in the season there. But that's where, I felt like he could have helped those guys. He could have helped Bryce more by moving Bryce a little bit more, moving the launch point, helping to create separation in the process for some receivers in 2022 that didn't have quite that ability of Williams, Metchie, Judy, all these guys that preceded them. But I do think in all, yeah, you said it. You had a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback in 2021 that you helped produce. The offense threw for over 8,000 yards in the two seasons that Bill O'Brien was at the controls. Bryce Young threw 79 touchdown passes in his two seasons as a starter. What, 12 interceptions for Bryce? So it may take a while in retrospect to acknowledge some of the positives, but there were more than just a couple with Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, and I think, you know, going to New England, you're going to have to help Mac in a similar way because, you know, like we already talked about, they don't have a lot of guys in terms of weapons at the wide receiver position. So, you know, I think maybe is he better suited for the NFL game? I mean, maybe so. That's where he really cut his teeth and made a name for himself before becoming a head coach at Penn State and Houston Texans. But, you know, I think that it is a situation too where, yeah, don't be so vanilla. You know, do what works. And a lot of the time for Alabama, what works was just letting Bryce Young do his thing. I mean, I can't really fault him for that.
Did they fall into that trap a little bit, you think, especially in 2022 or at least going into 2022?
Yeah, a little bit. And I don't fault him for that necessarily because I think Bryce has been the best player in college football the last 2 years. You know, that guy can do a lot, but you got to help him too. You got to put him in situations for him to flourish. And that's not to say that that wasn't always the case. I think more often than not it was, but you know, whenever it is, like, I mean, look at the drive at Auburn last year, and that's to force overtime. That's all Bryce, I think. And, you know, whenever he's hurrying up, you know, making, you know, checks the line of scrimmage, you know, they're playing with tempo. I think that's a lot of Bryce. And so I think Bryce helped Bill a lot. I think Bill helped Bryce quite a bit. But, you know, it helps you to clear up some of the things that maybe you weren't doing well from a play caller standpoint when you have a guy like Bryce as well.
Interesting how guys in that position are viewed based on, again, championships. And look, Bill O'Brien won an SEC title, and that is amazing in its own right. How much that's discounted these days when we look at Alabama football. Well, he won an SEC championship. They beat the number one ranked team in the country in Atlanta and did a lot of that with Bryce Young going off on that Georgia defense in December of 2021. And by the way, Metchie was out in the first half of that game. So We tend to overlook those situations, but I think Brian Daboll is a perfect example of it. How would we view Brian Daboll right now if Nick doesn't go to the bullpen at the halftime of the national championship game in Atlanta and goes to Tua and Tua leads that comeback? And look, that was an offense late in the 2017 season. We sat there and watched it together. Wasn't great at Mississippi State. Had to save itself late with the slant from Jalen to Devontae to get out of there with a win, and then really bottomed out a short time later at Auburn in the loss. So, you know, again, the bar is very, very high at Alabama. And with that, you think about some potential candidates, and we've got offensive coordinator hot board up right now at BamaOnline.com. But, you know, as much as anything, how attractive do you think this job continues to be? And that's understanding it is Alabama. It is still a national championship caliber program, but you know candidates as well as I do. They're looking at pieces, right? What am I going to take over? And it starts at the quarterback position, offensive line, obviously important, and then skill positions around the quarterback. How attractive from that perspective right now, Charlie, do you think this job is?
I think it's still attractive. Well, I mean, that makes it sound like Alabama's, you know, falling off a cliff. I think it's very attractive. And, you know, it hurts to lose a guy like Bryce Young. I think any coach in the country would want to work with him. But you have Jalen Milroe, who can do a lot of things from an athletic standpoint, and you want to try to continue to work with him in his development. Ty Simpson, I know you and Tim have talked about it at length, just his athleticism as well. And, you know, he might be the more polished of the two from a passing standpoint. You had a couple of young guys as well. It's a quality but unproven quarterback room, and that's where it starts first and foremost, because, you know, barring something unexpected, you know, the offensive coordinator will be the quarterback's coach. That's more often than not what happens. But you look at the pieces around it, you have Jace McClellan and Roydell Williams coming back. You have Jamarian Miller coming back as a sophomore, and you add two your really elite prospects to that running back room. They're going to be running behind an offensive line that has to figure out some, you know, pieces at guard and tackle, but you bring back J.C. Latham, you bring back Tyler Booker, you bring back Seth McLaughlin. It looks like Darian Dalcourt might be back as well. Maybe he's a guy that can, you know, flex out at guard or just give you quality depth at center. And then at wide receiver, I think that's really outside of quarterback, obviously, is one of the more intriguing position groups of the offseason, just to kind of see how this group grows and continues to develop, because, you know, we talked about it already, just the inconsistencies of that group. But the guys that we really saw make an impact are back. You have Jermaine Burton and Ja'Cory Brooks. You have those freshmen who are now sophomores, and Isaiah Bond and Kendrick Law and Kobe Prentice. You add some quality guys via the high school ranks and junior college with Malik Benson. So that and tight end, there's a lot to like about what Alabama brings back. A lot of it is kind of unproven and young, but Alabama recruits as well as anybody in the country, and there's going to be talent to work with. And, you know, it's going to be Alabama's offense. You know, whoever comes in is going to be able to add some wrinkles to that. But, you know, like we've talked about with Bill O'Brien, you know, it's going to be an opportunity to land one of the best and most scrutinized jobs in the country. You're going to be paid handsomely, but you're also going to have an opportunity to most likely compete for a national championship at one point in time if you last a couple seasons. So I think there's a lot of allure to it. You have right now, just looking at, you know, the staff, you have a lot to like of the guys you'll be working with Robert Gillespie, Joe Cox, you got Wolford, Wiggins, you know, they're quality coaches on that side of the ball. So I think, you know, that and coming in and working under Nick Saban, you know, you see how this, you know, if you're a guy that's looking to continue to grow into the coaching ranks, this job is a springboard more often than not to either a head coaching position, an offensive coordinator position in the NFL, or just, you know, something bigger. So I think all of that, there's a lot to like, and I don't think that the list of suitors is going to be very short for Nick Saban.
Yeah, and that list, I mean, our initial hot board there at BamaOnline.com consists of sensible options. When you think about how Nick Saban has addressed this situation in the past with an emphasis on the offensive side of the ball, he has gone to the NFL on multiple occasions. He's gone with guys who have done it at the college level. There's been a mix, but typically there's experience involved. And I think that's what you're going to see with the candidates we have for you there, whether it's Jeff Libby, whether it's a guy like Greg Roman coming down perhaps from the NFL. And I know we have our little staff text that we do. And when Roman was released by the Baltimore Ravens, so we kind of got in there and talked about him potentially as a fit. I think Greg Roman could fit at Georgia. I think he could fit at a place like Alabama. Maybe Greg Roman stays in the National Football League for all we know. But these are the kind of guys anyway that you have to take into account when trying to track what Nick Saban has done in the past. And by the way, this will be his ninth offensive coordinator at the University of Alabama. And Alabama is going through coordinator changes on both sides of the ball for the first time since 2019. But even in 2019, you promoted from within with Golding on defense. 2018 was a similar situation, but I think both those spots were promotions, right? Loxley, Tosh Lapoy. So this is a little bit different than what we've seen here in recent years when you've had these changes on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, it is definitely different. And I think, you know, there's something to add to the difference in the positions, because you know, with the offensive coordinator, maybe even another, you know, draw to it if you're a guy coming from the NFL, is Alabama's offensive coordinators aren't asked to recruit quite as hard as maybe the defensive coordinator. You know, we've seen Kirby Smart and Jeremy Pruitt and Pete Golding, you know, really roll up their sleeves and be big time contributors on the recruiting trail. And that's not to say the offensive coordinators don't do that as well, but you know, they're either localized or focused on the quarterbacks, or maybe, you know, head out to California or something. It's been, you know, compared to the defensive coordinator, it's been pretty cushy. So I think that's something too that can add to the lure of the offensive coordinator position. But no, it's interesting. I know people are just sitting there and itching for information, and when they see anything on social media, they believe it to be true. But that is, I would definitely warn on the side of that. I know if I hear or see anything, it'll be posted on the message board on the site. The same goes for you. And you know, I know we give Tim a lot of crap on here, but you know, he's locked in that coaching staff.
Yeah, he is.
He's not holding information just to screw with you guys. Like, he's not gonna make stuff up. When he hears it, he's gonna share it. Whenever he shares it, you can take it to the bank. So I feel like it's a broken record, but we are on Central Saban time, and he's going to move at this pace, or this thing, at his own pace. And, you know, we talked about it before the podcast. Next week is usually whenever he speaks to reporters. I don't know if that will be the case with
at the Senior Bowl, right?
Yeah. Well, and then you have National Signing Day. Yeah, basically wrapped up in December. So we'll see what happens from there. But, you know, we'll definitely keep it updated. But right now, it's not a no news is good news situation, but there's just, you know, we're not making stuff up just to make it up.
No. Who would you say right now, based on interaction and what we see there on the roundtable there at BamaOnline.com, give me the people's choice selections for Alabama's next offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator post? The people's choices.
If you look at the message board, I think the fan favorites, the clear-cut guys, are Derek Dooley and Todd Grantham. I think if that's how it ends up.
Down the hall hires. Yeah, ooh, those would go over real well. Yeah.
Like, I'm talking parades. Yeah, they might burn some cars. They might burn and flip some cars if it were to happen on a serious note. But no, I think, you know, defensive coordinator, it's been the guys we've talked about. I think you have
Pruitt.
To see what happens from an NCAA standpoint, but it makes a lot of sense to kick the tires and kick them hard on Jeremy Pruitt. You know, and offensive coordinator wise, it's early, but, you know, Levy makes a lot of sense. A lot of these guys that we mentioned too.
I think there's a lot of folks that would love Joe Brady, but this guy's interviewing for NFL coordinator spots, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's not quite the same level as, like, you know, everybody hoping for D'Amico Ryans to be defensive coordinator. But when a guy is interviewing for offensive coordinator positions in the NFL, and there are double digit, well, I guess nine now since O'Brien's
been. Yeah, D'Amico's just going to come out today and say, you know, I'm going to turn down the Houston Texans head coaching job. I'm going home. Yeah. D.C. Alabama. That's going to happen, sure.
But I think Levy, Brady, I know a lot of fans would like to see Dan Mullen. That would be interesting to see how that
can that work. I don't think Dan could, you know, Lane, whatever you thought of him, could take it. You know, I just don't that boy, that's 2A types.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder how Dan would hold up to that. Maybe he would. I don't know. I probably would have thought the same thing about Bill O'Brien, and, you know, it made it 2 years. So
yeah, and that's the thing too. Like, say what you want, but I think those two worked together really well. Yeah. I think there's a lot of mutual respect there.
I think it helped probably Bill staying up in the box. What do you think? Mullen would have to be in the box, I think. That's the only way I could see that happening, Charlie.
I agree. But I think that one is definitely one worth mentioning. And if it were to play out, I think it'd be fascinating. I think that is one that is up there whenever you talk about what fans want to see. Dan Mullen's
Mullen can there. He gets it with quarterbacks too, man.
The same goes for Cliff Kingsbury. I think that's another one that as soon
isn't he
as
in Thailand happens, or something?
He apparently bought a one-way ticket to Thailand, and apparently, based off of his girlfriend's posts on Instagram, he's having a hell of a time.
Yeah, I think he might be an option via Zoom. Like, if you could just have him Zoom in, practice.
He is a virtual coordinator.
Like Nick did when he had COVID.
Yeah. Virtual Alabama and the technology they have over there might have some
AI,
some holograms that they could post up.
Yeah.
He'd be happy
big screen.
Sometimes for that.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, Charlie, as always, we appreciate the time, my man. We're also going to let you get back to the debate surrounding Jalen Hurts about, which school, which program can claim him. I know you're having as much fun with that as I am. I mean, can't we save that one for like May? Is that really a January topic? I guess so, because he's in the NFL playoffs and in the NFC championship game. But gee whiz. My stock response to that has always been, whatever the hell Jalen wants to claim. How about that? How about we just go with that? What do you think, Charlie?
I think Jalen's proud of both, and he claims both.
Even his high school.
I'll say this. As someone that does the weekly roundups of the NFL and how guys perform each week, I don't include Alvin Kamara or, Aaron Robinson or Jerome Ford, some of these guys that were in Alabama's program but transferred away.
They were kind of cameos. Yeah.
There was no doubt that Jalen Hurts would be among this because he graduated from Alabama. He was a starting quarterback at Alabama, but he still claims them. I mean, he had the dual helmet. He didn't wear it.
He's a Bammer.
He had the dual helmet at the Senior Bowl, for Christ's sake. And he's a guy that you can see him wearing Alabama gear now. I mean, he's a guy that when he was at Oklahoma shared a video smoking a cigar after Alabama beat Tennessee. I don't think he has to claim either one. I think he can be a proud alum of both. And I think he did a lot of good stuff at Alabama.
Yeah.
He made a big impact on and off the field at Alabama. And then he continued to get better throughout his career. And the same goes for, what he was able to do at Oklahoma. So I think it's kind of a ridiculous debate. The funniest thing I've seen is, where did he win a playoff game at the college level? So you can do with that what you want. But I think Jalen is a very, very proud of the University of Alabama. And I can say just from, being on a message board, being on social media and actually just tweeting out NFL stuff, I think Alabama fans are equally as proud of Jalen, if not more.
Yeah, you don't have to justify including him in tied in the NFL or anything like that based on the extensive nature of his career at Alabama. And look, if you're OU247 or whatever the site is and you do Sooners on Sunday, that sounds pretty good. Yeah. You like that?
You should.
They'll probably steal that.
Yeah, you need to send a check.
TM it. Trademark.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. I just came up with that, too. If you want to do Sooners on Sunday, hell yeah, you got Jalen in that. It's fine. It's fine, folks. You know what else is fine? Alabama men's basketball. We're not going to get into it too much here, but we got continuing coverage of the nation's second-ranked team, Nate Oates' team. The Alabama Crimson Tide set to take on Mississippi State midweek at Coleman Coliseum, and then speaking of Oklahoma, it just seems right, doesn't it? With all this Jalen talk, Alabama goes to Oklahoma on Saturday. Maybe we can call that the Jalen Hurts Championship or something. The winner of UA Oklahoma Saturday gets to claim Jalen exclusively. Maybe.
I'll make sure.
Always marketing here.
I'll make sure on Friday to ask Nate Oates because we all know that Nate is not short on opinions and long answers, so he might have something to say about that.
Yeah. Nate might. He actually just might. Hey, Charlie, again, thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, no problem, man. I know fans are excited, and like I said, stay tuned to Roundtable because the two of us and Tim will keep you updated.
We'll give you everything we got right there at the premium message board of choice. For Alabama fans around the globe, the Roundtable right there with us at BamaOnline.com. If you haven't already, how about a subscription to this here podcast, the Bama Online Podcast, simple as a click or two wherever you consume pods, you're going to find the Bama Online Podcast. And you know what else we would certainly appreciate? If you would leave us a rating and a review, that would greatly help us out as well. For Charlie, Travis, thanks once again for joining us here on the podcast. Until next time, so long, everybody.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount+.